Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, "You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation, with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything." While this is my very first time to worship with the good folks at Broadmoor, I can say that this scripture reminds me of you. I have heard your name for a very long time. I'm originally from Columbia, Tennessee, so I'm a Middle Tennessee folk. And I have long heard about the good work that happens here for the Lord at Broadmoor. So it is an honor to be with you here tonight, talking about things that Paul would like us to know, lessons from the Apostle Paul, things he would teach us. Tonight, we're going to look at evangelism. We're going to answer the question, what it is and why. You know, we know from scriptures such as Acts chapter 13 and Galatians chapter 2 that Paul has been commanded by the Lord to be as a light to the Gentiles. We know that. And we also know that it says in those scriptures that Peter is going to be for the circumcised and Paul for the uncircumcised. So if we just stopped right there, we could answer this very quickly and be done and go home tonight. What is evangelism? What and why? Why is Paul doing this? Well, because the Lord commanded him to do that. But tonight, I think we can learn a whole lot more by looking and opening up our Bibles, and I invite you to do so. I invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I believe looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and 5, we can get a little bit more specific about what it is that Paul says that he teaches and he preaches, and exactly why he does it in the face of all that he has to go through in his life. And so with that said, let's go ahead and begin in our Bibles, and let's read those first seven verses of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He writes to the Corinthians, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Verse 5, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves." Therefore, whenever we see that word in the Bible, we always need to go back a little bit because it's pointing to something else. And what we have divided as a chapter 4, therefore, since, well, what's happening before the therefore? Well, back in chapter 3, just to give a little bit of context to our study tonight, what is it that Paul is trying to tell the Corinthians in chapter 3? Well, he's explaining the differences between the old law and the new law in Christ. And he makes these comparisons, such as verse 6, where he says, "The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." And that's a reference there to what he's talking about in Romans chapter 7, where he says, we didn't know about sin until the law came. And so since the law came, well, that let us know what sin is in our life, and that brought forth death. But I'll push forward into the context of 3 to notice there in verse 12. Again, making these comparisons between the old law, the law of Moses, and that of Christ. Verse 12, he says, "Therefore, having such a hope, we use great boldness in our speech, and are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face, so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading, but their minds were hardened. For until this day, at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it is removed in Christ. But to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. And so there's this context talking about, again, the old law and the new law. The old law kills. The new law gives life. And how do you have life? We need to turn to the Lord. And of course, he's talking about those that were unwilling to do that. And that brings us to our study tonight, therefore. Since I've said these things about the difference between the old law and the new law, therefore. What I want to do with you tonight is I want to walk through 2 Corinthians 4 and chapter 5 with you. And I want to try to answer this question. Evangelism, reaching the lost, going into all the world and preaching the gospel. What is it that we need to be preaching? Well, we already read those first seven verses, and I'm going to point to a few things that I see that Paul is referencing. And there in verse 1 is the first of what? What is it that Paul is pointing to? God's mercy. God's mercy is what we preach. He says, therefore, since we have this ministry as we received mercy, I want us to think about just for a moment what it is that, universally speaking, in the religious world, what is it that often is sold first and foremost when trying to reach the lost? Well, unfortunately, I think you know some of these answers. A lot of times what is, quote, sold to the lost is things like a building. Come worship with us. Our building is amazing. Our facilities are amazing. We have some amazing things for your children. We have some things for the adults. We have something to take care of your kids while the adults do something. And we have Bible classes. We have this. We have that. And don't misunderstand me tonight. Do not misunderstand me to say that those things aren't important. As far as the building, we need to take care of our building. It's a place we worship the Lord. It's important. It's also important to have things like VBS and singings and meetings and Bible classes for all ages. Those are all important. Don't misunderstand me. But what is it that we should be selling to lost souls? Should it really be a facility? Should it really be us? Should it be a preacher? No. We should be selling the mercy of the Lord. We should be selling that there was one part of our lives in which we were all lost. We were lost without God. We were separated. And because of God's love and His mercy, we are who we are. That's what we need to sell. That's what we need to tell other people about what good God has done for us. And you know, out of all people, Paul understands this, doesn't he? He understands it. Keep your marker here in 2 Corinthians 4. Turn with me, if you would, over to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look with me there in verses 12 through 16. Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. Notice this, verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant. With the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus, it is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. In verse 16, yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. Out of all people, Paul understood. He understood what the mercy of God was. Patience, that's what it is. We deserve something when we sinned, death. But the love and mercy and patience of God, Paul understood that, and he wanted to make sure that these folks knew that. He wants to make sure that we know that. He wants to make sure that we focus on the right things when we tell other people about God. We need to tell them about his mercy. What else do we need to tell? Do we only talk about only God's grace and only His mercy? Well, there is more to it than just focusing on that. There's a whole New Testament we can look at. And if you'll look back in verse 2, I think he continues with what we need to tell people. In verse 2, back in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, "But we have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." What's important? The truth. Verse 5, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord." That's what we preach. We preach the Word of God. We preach the Word of God. Well, let me tell you why I'm giving such a basic commentary right here on this. Because I do believe that I stand before a group of people that know that we need to preach the Word of God. But here's why. Have you ever had an opportunity, an open door, to discuss matters of faith with someone? You got excited, right? You get that feeling in your stomach. You're excited. Somebody wants to know about God. I'm going to get to share my faith. I'm going to get to do what I've always wanted to do today. Have you ever felt nervous in that opportunity? Maybe nervous that you wouldn't know the answers if you were asked. Perhaps even scared that you're going to mess it up. I think some of the reasons why we get so nervous and scared and we go from wanting to be evangelistic to actually doing it is because we're afraid that we don't know all the right things to say. But brethren, we're focusing too much on ourselves. And we think that we have to say all the right things and we have to be perfect. And that's not what we're selling. What we're telling other people about is God and His Word. Again, keep your marker there with me. But let me show you how Paul went about teaching others. Flip with me, if you would, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look there with me, beginning in verse 30. Paul writes, "But by His doing you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, the righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." Let's pause there real quick before we keep going into chapter 2. What are we supposed to boast in? Ourselves? Our speech? That we know all the right answers? We know the perfect thing to say to the perfect person at the perfect time? And we boast in the Lord. Continue with me there in chapter 2. "And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of the power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God." Paul's there in this land of all the Greek philosophers and everybody that thinks they're so smart. And he says, "Look, I'm not trying to impress you with my wisdom and philosophies. All that I want to give you is the Word of God." Brother, let me say this before we continue in our consideration and study tonight. We're never going to be very good at sharing the gospel if we wait to prepare ourselves until the time somebody asks us the question. I encourage all of us as Christians to go ahead and take the time at home in your own personal Bible study and write down some scriptures that are helpful to you. Ones that stand out to you and write those on a card, write it on a post-it note, put it in your Bible, keep it there, put it on your phone, whatever it is. And that way we go ahead and prepare ourselves that when we have opportunities to talk about God, here are some scriptures that we're going to throw out that will hopefully lead to more conversation and then hopefully a time to sit down with an open Bible. But brother, don't be so afraid to think that you're not going to do good or you're not going to know the words to say. Just preach Christ. Go to the scripture and let it speak for itself. Open up the Bible and say, "Can I share a verse with you?" And let God do the talking. I'm afraid sometimes that we're not as evangelistic as we want to be or need to be because we don't know what to say. Let's just keep it simple. Keep it on God's mercy, His grace, and on the Word of God and His requirements. That's what. To simplify it tonight, that's the what. Now, why? Why? I mean, in the Lord's church, we certainly hear Bible classes and sermons and invitations all the time about reaching the lost, right? Why? I mean, after all, it's 2019. If somebody wants to know about God, they should be able to find out about God. And after all, they know where we worship. If they wanted to know about us, they could walk through our doors. Again, it's 2019. You can find your Bible on your phone, on an app. You can find it anywhere. It's readily available. If they want to know about God, they should be able to find out about God. They should be the ones. Well, the problem with that mindset is that's not what Jesus has asked us to be. Jesus did not ask us to just meet somewhere and huddle together and hope everybody comes to us. He wants us to go to them. He wants us to get out of our comfort zones and to appreciate the grace and mercy we've been given and to tell other people about it. And I know without asking, I know that I stand before people tonight that want to be like that. I know you do. Every Christian wants to be somebody that can help somebody else get to heaven. Perhaps if we look at the why, some of the reasons why Paul felt so motivated, perhaps, I hope that it will encourage and motivate us tonight to leave here considering reasons why we should get out of our comfort zones and reasons why we should work just a little bit harder to talk to that coworker, talk to that neighbor, talk to our grandchildren, our children, and influence them for God. You're there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Would you look with me in verse 13? Paul writes, "But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak." Why does Paul preach beyond being commanded? What are some motivations for him? Well, it's because he believes. That plain and simple. He believes in God. He believes in Jesus. He believes in a crucified Savior. And so, therefore, he speaks. It's just that simple. And again, I know I stand before people tonight that believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You wouldn't be here on a Wednesday night if that wasn't the case. So I ask us, how are we doing at sharing the gospel with other people? Does our belief in being sanctified in the blood of Jesus Christ, does it motivate us to do anything? The prophet Jeremiah in 20 and 9 says, "But if I say I will not remember him or speak any more in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I am weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it." Let's be honest with ourselves tonight. Does that describe us? Can we honestly go home tonight, and I'm speaking to myself too, brethren. Are we going to be able to lay our head down tonight and have that burning desire? I'm afraid sometimes as Christians, we find ourselves getting in that comfort zone. And we involve ourselves in things that the church does. And we feel like, well, we're assisting the church. And we should be doing that. We need to get involved in things with the church. But evangelism is not just things that are done corporately by the church. It is by individuals going out into the community, finding ways to make conversations and relationships and influencing that for good. Do we believe in God?
in the day of judgment, in the blood of Christ? Do we believe in it so much that it feels like a fire that we have to get out? In Acts chapter 4, we read of the account there of Peter and John, and they're told not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. And in verse 19 it says, "But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard." That's the type of attitude we need to have, brethren. That's the type of attitude. We cannot stop. And again, why do we stop? Let's be honest. Oh, our nation at large doesn't really always want to hear about Jesus, do they? Do you have any people you work with or live beside, or those in your own family that if you try to bring up Jesus, you get that look? You know what I'm talking about? They don't want to hear it. And so what do we do as Christians? We feel that awkwardness and we feel, well, I don't think anybody wants to hear about the gospel. And we shirk back and we don't share it. Brethren, let's not let our media, let's not let our culture, let's not let any of that let us think that people don't want to hear the gospel and there's no point in it anyway, because even if we shared it, they wouldn't listen and they wouldn't obey. That's not up for us to decide. What is for us to do is to go out and give the word of God. Whether somebody obeys, that's between them and the Lord. Our job is just to simply share the gospel. Speaking of that, I want to go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 with you. And there in verses 14 through 17, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him who they have not heard? How will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." I know it says without a preacher. I know that. But I also believe this is a command for all Christians. And they cannot hear unless each of us do our parts as individuals. Why does Paul feel so motivated to preach Christ? Because he believes. He believes. Secondly, for the souls of others. Again, going back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and looking there and noticing verse 15. "For all things are for your sakes." We'll pause there and read the rest of verse 15 in just a moment. "For all things are for your sakes." He's doing it for the souls of others. That's why. Later in chapter 5, Paul speaks about earthly tents. So speaking of earthly tents in our bodies, let me ask you a question. How many times do we look upon another, really look upon another out in our community and look at them and think of them as an eternal soul? Let's be honest. Oftentimes when we meet somebody, we see somebody in our community, we see them and we see their physical appearance, we see their clothes, we see their personality. And it's so easy for us to just look at them as personality or blonde or whatever it is and not think of them as an eternal soul. Just that's somebody I don't know. Every single person that we pass on earth is an eternal soul. Let me ask you another question. What emotions do we feel when we see somebody that is sick? What emotions do we feel when a loved one is physically sick, perhaps even has cancer, perhaps is close to death? What type of emotion do we have when we know that someone has died? We have a lot of feelings, don't we? We have deep concern for the one that's been lost. We have deep concern for the family members that have just lost their loved ones. And we feel oftentimes very deeply for physical loss and physical illnesses. I wonder why we don't look upon those around us who are spiritually sick and spiritually dying with the same emotion. Because that's more important. That's more important. People are going to get sick. People are going to die in the flesh. What's more important is their eternal destination, whether it's going to be in the presence of the Lord Almighty or if it's going to be cast out with the devil and his angels. Paul had a true concern for other people. He wanted to help other people. And you might say, but I can't save the world. I'm one person. You're probably right about that. But I do know this, that I personally, nor any Christian, disciple of Jesus Christ, we can't influence anybody if we don't first have real care and concern for lost souls around us. Paul cared about the souls of others, and that was a motivation for him. He also wanted to honor God. Again, there in verse 15, "For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God." What would Paul want us to know? How would he want to encourage us tonight? Well, he would say, "I want you to care about other people, and I want you to honor God." How do we honor God? Well, we honor God when we share the gospel. God is honored when we share, and God is honored when more and more people give their lives to Him. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." We honor God when we go out and share the gospel, and He's glorified even more when people turn to Him. But even if they don't turn to Him, we still honor God by sharing the gospel. Let me give you a fourth, in case you're wondering and keeping track. There are eight. I know we like to, in our minds, keep track, so we're going to keep getting through these pretty quickly. Let me give you a fourth reason, a motivation for Paul. Well, he thought eternally, not earthly. He looked long term. Look in chapter 5 and look there with me in verse 1. "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed while we are in this tent we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge." A motivation that I see from Paul here is that he has to go, he has to teach, he has to preach, because he knows that we're eternal souls, and he knows that there's going to be a home one way or the other. He looks past just this life. Just like Jesus tells His disciples in John chapter 6, verse 27, "Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life." It's so easy, isn't it? Isn't it so easy to get caught up in all that we have to do? We have to get up tomorrow morning, we have our jobs, we have things to do. Even if it's summer break, you've got something that's going to keep you busy. And it's so easy to focus on what we have to do here and now and today. And we always think, well, we'll be more evangelistic. We'll do those things later. But we might not have later. We need to focus on what is important. One of my favorite pieces of Scripture is there in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to read there with you just a few verses. Beginning in verse 50, Paul says, "Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. But I tell you a mystery, we will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable must put on the imperishable, and this mortal must put on immortality." Brethren, that day is coming. Whether we know it or not, it's coming. Where are we looking? Are we just looking at today? Or are we looking long term? Paul was looking long term, and I think that was a motivator for him to help other people to know about Christ and Him crucified. Let me give you a fifth why that I see that he's describing here in this letter. That's because he wants to be pleasing to the Lord. In verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9, "Therefore we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him." Let's remember where we started in the beginning, Acts chapter 13 and Galatians 2. We know that he was commanded to do this, commanded to go into the Gentiles. We know that all of us in Mark 16 and 15 are supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Now you say, hey, that was just for those 11. That was for those that were standing there. That's for all of us. You want to be pleasing to the Lord? Tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Break out of what I call the huddle. We need to push ourselves. We need to break out of our comfort zones. We need to identify the people in our lives that we need to influence. There's not a single one of us sitting here tonight that does not know somebody that needs the gospel. And I'm not talking about people you don't know. I'm talking about people that we know. People that are in our social circles. People that we already have gained their ear and trust because we're friends, acquaintances. He wanted to be pleasing to the Lord, and I want to be pleasing to the Lord. I know you do too. On the day of judgment, I certainly don't want to stand before the Lord and Him ask why I never shared with anybody, why I never said anything about Him, and give an excuse like, well, you don't understand America, you don't understand our culture, you don't understand our media, you don't understand the sin, you don't understand the darkness in our world. That doesn't matter. That's why I sent Jesus into the world, John chapter 1, to bring light into the darkness. And it's our job to share that light. Let me give you a sixth. Another reason why. I believe it's because he feared the Lord, as we should as well. There in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 and 11, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men." Therefore, there's one of those words again in verse 11. Because we must all stand before God, therefore, knowing that we're going to stand before the Lord and the fear we have in the Lord, we go out and we persuade men for ourselves and for their souls as well. Think about all the excuses that you and I make, right, of why we aren't more evangelistic. And we all have our excuses, right? Out of whatever we might be facing, we're likely not facing anything like Paul. Are we having people go around and follow us and try to stone us and kick us out of every city? Paul had all these things happening to him. And he feared the Lord more than he feared man. And so we should fear the Lord more than we fear somebody disagreeing with us, somebody telling us we're crazy, or we're too literal with the Bible. We need to fear the Lord. Let me give you a seven. I believe that Paul would want us to know another reason why he had to share the Gospels, because it was a must for him. Verse 14 and 15 in 2 Corinthians 5, he says, "For the love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." There's a phrase in verse 14, "For the love of Christ controls us." Could we say that we love Jesus Christ so much that it controls everything that we do in life? I hope so. Because Paul most certainly loved the salvation and loved the Savior, loved the Son of God so much that it controlled what he did. That he had to. There wasn't another option for him. He didn't want another option. He was so engrossed in his love for the Savior that that's what he had to do. That's the attitude that we need to have as disciples of Jesus Christ. Yes, we have a lot of other things to do in life, but we must also be about sharing with others around us. Let me give you one more. Why are some reasons? Well, I see that Paul is laying out that he has to share. It doesn't matter if somebody follows him, stones him, shipwrecks him, whatever happens, that he has to share the gospel. Because he saw himself as an ambassador. I want to explore that with you in closing tonight. Look there with me in chapter 5, verse 20. He says, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." I think every one of us tonight would look at this scripture and we'd say, yeah, obviously, the Apostle Paul is an ambassador for Christ. We know that, but that's not me. I mean, that's not you and I, right? I mean, ambassador, I mean, that's a representative. Absolutely, Paul is a representative for Jesus Christ. But that, do you ever feel like you cannot be that? You are not that? You know, you do a little word study and look in your lexicon, which I'm sure all of you do every day and will do immediately after this sermon. You do a little word study of that word ambassador to see what that means, what it's trying to convey to us. It means a trusted, a respected, somebody who is authorized to speak as God's representative. Well, hey, that's you and me. That's not just the Apostle Paul. And so in closing, I'll say this to the Christians tonight. Are we as motivated as Paul to preach and teach to a lost and dying world? If we had to answer the question right now, do we feel that we are being a trusted, a respected representative for Jesus Christ? Could we in our hearts say yes? I hope so. Because that's what we need to be. People that are going into the communities and serving the Lord in that regard. We all want to be evangelistic. We want to teach and we want to preach. We can do it. It's not as easy as it hard and not as hard as we think. Just go to the Scriptures and relay God's Word. We can do it. We're told to do it. God wouldn't ask us to do something that we can't do. Let's identify people that we can help get to heaven with us. If you are not yet a child of God tonight, I will simply repeat the words of the Apostle Paul. We beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. Jesus has died and risen again so that we can be reconciled. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, won't you come? Allow this church to help you to confess that you believe in Jesus Christ. Repent away from sin in your life. Be baptized so that you can join the church and be saved from your sins. If we can help you with that or any spiritual need tonight, I hope you'll let us help you right now as we stand and sing together.